Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Walk-On Sports Bistro and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. We are live at Walk-Ons in Katy. Come on through. I believe that's 99 right there, isn't it? We're at 10 and 99?
Yeah.
I-10 and 99 right there. Come on through. I guess we're on the northeast corner of that junction right there, if you will. Come on through and hang out. Plenty of seats. The food is tremendous. That little Cajun spin they got going on is phenomenal. I had that gumbo and that gator. Ron's over there eating on some kind of shrimp taco and a little gumbo, it looks like. I may go with them boudin balls. They were tremendous last time.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I may go ahead and knock down some of them boudin balls before
Why
I get
not,
up out
man.
Of here. But we shall see.
My Katy. Dumb ass. You want to get into Dirties Daily?
Oh, well, yeah, it's okay, though.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
What is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Dirties Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, Dirties Daily is sponsored by Hair of the Dog, Tyler Milner. Tyler Milner, right? And we're going to get a little late jump on that thing. I like it, baby. I like it. I was going to let it ride, but I appreciate you jumping back into it and getting that introduction out there, T-Mill. What was that you sipping on last night? What had you riled up?
It was the old whiskey.
Which one? Which one? Well, I guess you don't really care, do you? If it's dirty, you're drinking
Makers.
It. Come on, Makers. It's powered
I'm about to
by.
Say, you know what it was.
Hey, Dirties Daily is powered by an old Makers mark that Tyler was drinking. Probably started doubles and then just went, hell, put it on the rocks and let's ride. Come on, baby. I know. And then comes the blackout, baby. But here we are, and then here comes the dog that you got a hair today. By the way, do you know where that came from? I had to look it up.
I've never heard of it until today. I don't know where it came
I'm over
from.
Here. Ron has never heard hair of the dog when on the backside of a drunk night and a hangover. Apparently, I knew it and obviously knew what people were referring to. I had no idea where it came from. Apparently, back in the day, the thought was that there was a concoction made from the hair of the dog that bit you that would cure rabies. Right? Dog bites you, you get rabies, same dog, the hair, boom, put it in some kind of mixture, and it cures you.
Mm, okay.
I don't know how we got to getting drunk and then that poison
then
has got
drink,
to.
Yeah.
And then, but anyway. Here we are, hair of the dog, baby. If you got drunk last night, get you a drink right here at Walk-Ons. Come on through. They got plenty for you. And we can hair that dog together. But
nice.
I mentioned it. Last night was a big win. Last night was
I'd say.
Getting over 500, getting to 6-5. I think last night was a win that, as Texans fans, I think we can look each other in the face seriously and have a conversation about the playoffs. Have a conversation about how good is this defense. Are they good enough to make a run? Are they good enough to win a playoff game? That's a real conversation based off last night's win. But that's not where I want to go, H-Town. As I'm sitting there watching this game last night, and we talked about it leading up to the game all week earlier this week, about this was a D'Amico Ryans game. This was a game where D'Amico Ryans' defense had to be the why. They had to be the reason that we either won the game or that we should have won the game in the fourth quarter, given our offense multiple opportunities. They had to be, right? You can't hang your hat as a defensive-minded head coach keeping the Tennessee Titans from scoring a lot of points. right? You can't hang your hat as a defensive-minded head coach of, boy, when you got one of the better quarterbacks in the league, your defense plays good football, right? This was one of those games, and I think it was the first one that we could fairly expect D'Amico Ryans to show up and show out against a playoff-caliber opponent, a MVP-caliber quarterback, and I'll be damned if he didn't do it. And as a Texans fan, I'm going to tell you, man, when you hire D'Amico Ryans, this is what you got to get. The offensive coordinator is going to be a crapshoot year in, year out here. I hate to break it to y'all. I said it when he got hired. If the offensive coordinator does well, he's going to get hired for somebody as a head coach. If he stinks up the place, he's going to get fired and they're going to move on to the next. The coordinator position is always going to be that revolving door. It's going to be a little bit of a headache, a pain point for us. But what we got to know is we've got to know that the defense, that they'll spend the money, they'll develop the players, they'll draft the players, and D'Amico Ryans will scheme things up and give us a chance to win big-time games versus big-time opponents. And that's exactly what we got last night. That's what we watched unfold last night. He held the Buffalo Bills, his defense held the Buffalo Bills to 12 points offensively. 12 points offensively. They had 6 touchdowns last week.
Yeah, Josh had them.
Josh had 6 touchdowns last week. 12 points offensively. 3 turnovers. Kalen Bullock was an absolute monster in the back end of this defense. 8 sacks. Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter. Will had 2.5, I believe. Daniil Hunter had 2. By the way, there's some records we got to talk about. Will Anderson, 6 straight games with a sack. He tied Mario Williams for a franchise record. Daniil Hunter's got 7 sacks in the last 3 games. That ties a record that J.J. Watt set back in his heyday. Daniil Hunter and Will Anderson. Daniil's got 11 sacks. Anderson's got 10.5 sacks. They've done it in 11 games. And I didn't catch – my bad eyesight got me. I didn't catch the date, but it's been a minute since teammates have eclipsed double-digit sacks in the first 11 games of the season. It hadn't happened in a while, and these two guys have done it. So this defense, Ron, is –
they've been on a tear.
Look, I know we've got conversations that we got to have, and as you mentioned earlier, Stephen A. Smith is talking about winning the AFC because of how good this defense is. This is exactly the kind of conversations that you hope we would get when they hired D'Amico Ryans. One of the best play callers, defensive play callers in the game, a tremendous head coach. But the defense, year in, year out, has to be dominant. And last night was the first time in a while, to be honest with you, that I thought, okay, this is special. This is as good as we've seen at the NFL level in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, they're coming off of, as you said, they put 44 up on the Bucs. And we saw the Bucs. I mean, you know, they're led by a defensive-minded head coach. And obviously they don't have the dudes that the Texans have. But we watched them. I mean, they ain't terrible. But the Texans struggled against their defense. I mean, in earlier in the season when they played them, to think they put 44 and, I mean, besides some of the stuff that James Cook was doing throughout the game, I mean, everything was a struggle. Everything was a struggle, and it seemed like, you know, they stopped them from running their normal stuff and stopped them from being able to do the, you know, the kind of the extra stuff. The off schedule stuff that Josh is able to do generally because he just couldn't get away from them. And their coverage matched it.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, the two most impressive things about this defense, other than obviously the box score, because, hell, I don't know that we've seen this a handful of times in defensive football. The two most impressive parts of this defense as we're watching it, just to the naked eye, the sheer physicality up front that Will Anderson and Daniil Hunter are the tips of that spear, but really everybody, the physicality that they bring, the ability to collapse a pocket around a quarterback, the ability to, drop crazy levels of physicality on quarterbacks is crazy. So that number one. And then probably what I enjoy watching more, Ron, is the speed sideline to sideline. I mean, Azeez Al-Shaair, EJ Speed, Henry Toa-Toa, I think Kamari Lassiter fits in this box. Damn sure Jalen Petrie when he's out there in the box. But the way that these guys can pursue and chase down. Because a big part of what Buffalo was trying to do was those quick hitters. Call them screens, call them illegal picks, whatever you want to do. Throwing that ball real, and they're really good at it. Josh gets
they
it
hit,
out.
They hit some.
They hit a couple of them. But the sheer speed that these guys show as a group, not just one guy, but as a group, the way that they quote-unquote swarm to the football, I mean, it is special and it's fun to watch. Watching Kalen Bullock right now, you know, cause the fumble on the hit on Shakir down the field. The way they attack, man, is not just Will and Daniil. It's sideline to sideline at that linebacker level and at that safety and corner level as well.
That's the word that gets me, because there are other teams in the league that are good defenses.
Yeah.
And especially when you look at the numbers and the metrics. But the thing that really jumps out about the Texans is they never, ever appear like they're playing on their heels.
Ever.
They're
dictating all. Now, you're talking about defensively, yeah. Not offensively.
Yeah. I'm talking about defensively. Yeah. Like, they appear to be going to make the tackle instead of
hope to tackle.
Or accepting the tackle. Yeah. They appear to be everything. They seem to be going forward and not back. They attack in coverage. They attack the ball. From all ranges of the secondary. Their linebackers are attacking, moving forward, downhill. And that it's all over the place. Even good defenses are sometimes more, you know, cerebral or like, you know, trying to solve the math problem in there.
A little more finesse.
No, the Texans are
Yeah. Well, the Texans are definitely more the hammer than the nail. That's for damn sure, defensively. But guys, look, I mean, just as a Texans fan, I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the way, but to know that we've got a defense, because look, a lot of people thought this defense was good. Hell, I thought it was good. Everybody thought it was good. Last night was different. Like today, what you think about this defense today is totally different than what we thought about it yesterday. Today, you're talking about this defense is good enough to win a championship behind. Even with a pedestrian offense, you don't have to be great. This defense is good enough to carry a team, not just through a regular season, but in the playoffs. The narrative has changed, and I think it's right. I think it's accurate. I think it's fair. And it's good to be here as a Texans fan. Sitting at 6-5, we got a chance to make a run here and make this season mean something. And the reason we've got that chance is because D'Amico Ryan's defense is that good. Now, flipping over to the other side of the football on this Football Friday, reacting to the Thursday Night Football primetime win. Offensively, the tale of two halves, Ron. The tell of two halves. This for me is not a – I asked the question earlier. Do you think the decision to come out in the second half and be ultra conservative, do you think that was a play calling move or do you think that was a game management move? If it's game management, it's on D'Amico. If it's play calling, it's on Nick Caley. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe Nick Caley, after what he did going into halftime, came out in the second half and said, yeah, we're finna take the foot off the gas.
I think it came from D'Amico in a certain sense of let's not beat ourselves. Let's not hurt ourselves. I don't think D'Amico was calling plays, but I think D'Amico made it very clear.
Yeah.
Like, we're not taking any chances. Like, they're running reverses in the first half. They're doing all kinds of stuff. In the second half, hey, what do you have to gut?
Yeah.
What do you have to gut?
Well,
what do you have to gut? They got Emmitt Smith over there.
The other question there is, you know, if it was a game management decision, was it because the offense came out three penalties in the first drive coming out at halftime? And if you're D'Amico, you go, wait a minute, fellas, we got our backup quarterback in there. We got three penalties. We're behind the chains. We're not going to come out here and piss down our leg in the third quarter and lose this football game. And so did he pull the reins back then? It's nor here nor there because we won the game. We got out of there, escaped. But offensively, man, I do think it's worth noting. I think there's a few things here that we can sink our teeth into moving forward. Nick Caley has the ability to get in his bag. Now, I don't know if he can do it for four quarters. I'm not going to say he's the best thing since sliced bread.
Or to everybody.
We've had a three-game stretch here, Ron. Even the Denver game that we lost 18-15. Nick Caley called plays in that game that was good enough to win it. The quarterback left, and CJ and Davis Mills in that game left points on the field, and I'm talking touchdowns. I ain't talking about 3 points. Left points on the field, and we end up losing 18-15. And then you come into the Jacksonville game, and he was better through the first three quarters. It didn't bear fruit until the fourth quarter when you throw up 19 points in the fourth quarter and you win in dramatic fashion. Any way you look at it, Nick Caley was in his bag in Jacksonville. And then you look at the Tennessee game, and I thought he was really, really good. Two drives, four total drives in the first half, two of them. One should have ended in point in a touchdown. One should have ended in a field goal. And your players screwed it off, right? And in the second half, you come out, you score four of six possessions you score in the Tennessee game. And then yesterday in the first half, I mean, that was – I don't know what the hell was going on with Davis Mills. I mean, he missed three throws early on. Only one of them cost us points. But he missed three throws early on, and Nick Caley said, don't worry about it, big fella. I'll dial up another throw in the ocean. Here's you another wide-open Christian Kirk for a touchdown. You didn't like Dalton Schultz? You didn't like Higgins? Well, let me give you a Christian Kirk for a touchdown, all in one drive. I'm not saying he's the best thing since sliced bread, Ron, but he's figured out something offensively that's significantly better than he was a month ago.
That's fair.
And I'm going to tell you the other part.
Does that change with CJ? That shouldn't.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's going to get – the noise is going to get real loud if it doesn't. I mean, or if it does. I'm sorry. Like, if this thing goes south and we're not showing this level of promise when you get your starting quarterback back, then there's going to be a lot of noise around the starting quarterback. We'll save that for if and when it happens. The other thing, it looks like they figured out their offensive line.
You think this group is the same group that we'll see next week?
I do.
You think we stop? You think they've got the – because Titus has played his third position
now,
in the last.
Now that they've moved Titus, they said all I need to know. Titus has clearly told them, man, I'll do whatever the hell
you think
you
he
want
has. Or, the,
yeah, there's
they,
no question.
Or they just said, nah, man.
Bro, he's played right tackle, right guard, and left guard.
They just said, here, man, this is where we're going to need you to go.
No question. And I think they figured out, and let me rephrase this because I don't think this is going to be the Detroit Lions or the Philadelphia Eagles offensive line. But I think they figured out their quote-unquote best five. I'm going to tell you, Trent Brown, 380 pounds or whatever he is, pulling out there on that Woody Marks chunk run in the first half, and his ability to play four quarters versus those two edge guys and not get beat like a drum and not be a guy that the edge guys are really teeing off on, his ability to exist over there and an offensive line give up no sacks. That was my question mark on him. I'm not saying that Nick Benito is not going to go over there and eat him up. I'm not going to tell you that T.J. Watt wouldn't eat him up. But I'm just – to survive against really good edge rushers in this game and those guys, those defenses not be like, this is the duck, let's go get him. I think he's got that right tackle spot down. And now
– I think they're giving it to him.
Well, now you can flip Titus around to wherever you need him. Yeah, I think this offensive line is going to be – I think that the offensive line that C.J. Stroud steps back behind is going to be significantly better than the one that he left.
Yeah. All right, coming up as we continue here, the peer pressure got me.
Oh, hell.
The peer pressure got me, and last night was not the only measuring stick game.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Here in Houston over the weekend. We'll tell you about the others. That's coming up next as we continue right here live on the drive.
Sidewind-ass tennis shoes.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Walk-On Sports Bistro and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back as we are live here on The Drive, on the road, on a Football Friday, live from Walk-Ons here in Katy, a great, great spot. I just had a little of that gumbo. Solid. Very, very strong. Very, very good. Plenty of other things on the menu as well for you to go after. I know you just put in another order, didn't you? You got a little boudin?
I think it's pepper jack boudin.
Mm.
Had boudin balls with some cheese in it. Yeah, it's pretty good. I've had it before.
Yeah. Nothing to go wrong with here.
You want to try one? I'll share them with you.
Oh, yeah, you were mad at yourself last time. You didn't even allow me to try it.
I didn't share them with you.
You hold on to it, man.
It's all yours.
A boudin ball with cheese in it that's good is a something that you need to share. You need to try it, man.
Appreciate it.
It's not a unique item.
Other way, Clint, someone texted in and said, how much to sponsor Dirty's Daily? Well, we can direct you in the right spot.
Well, I mean, I can work some under the table, or I can get you in touch with somebody. You let me know. I mean, you know. And Tyler's for the take too. Now, if it's like a lingerie spot or maybe a little kinky toy spot or something, Tyler can work under the table as well.
If I know Tyler, I think Tyler would. He's open to a lot of business.
Send electrolytes.
He's not. Right now, he's in the electrolyte market.
You send me some Gatorade up here right now. You can sponsor T-Mill's Best Bets for the next 2 weeks.
Oh, you put a cap on it. Just 2 weeks.
I mean, one Gatorade for 2 weeks. I don't know. I think you're getting screwed on that deal.
Yeah,
Tyler.
That's a hell of a deal.
I think you're foggy minded. I think you should get 2 weeks worth of Gatorade all you want.
Throw in a couple of monsters in there, and you'd be set. No, man, we're having a good time out here. You got a chance to win plenty of prizes. Still got some gift cards we're going to hook people up with from Academy Sports and Outdoors. Shout out to Tom Ball Ford. We've got an oil change out there that we hooked somebody up with earlier today. And you can still also win a pair of tickets to that Colts game at the end of the season. We will be hooking somebody up with that in the 5 o'clock hour. And I want to continue to urge you, if you're in the building or on the way, and you have not entered into the Ultimate Tailgate, where you have a chance to win multiple prizes, including a $1,000 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors and two tickets in the suite for a game later on this season, use your phone to get that QR code, and you go right to the website to enter to be a part of the Ultimate Tailgate. You potentially could be a winner, so I would urge you do that. That's also up there for you as well to access. All right, Clint Tyler. Yesterday, I told you, went to Academy Sports and Outdoors. I just wanted to get a few shoes. Just get a pair of shoes, right? Just wanted to give me some nice shoes, and looked over there, and I was there with some nice Air Maxes. Beautiful, good pair of Air Maxes, and then another good solid running shoe that also had an air bubble there, and there was a bit of a difference in price. They were on sale, by the way. Academy Sports and Outdoors, they got it on sale right now. They got a whole bunch of shoes on sale. Go in there and get what you need. And they had the Air Maxes on sale for $99. Originally $129, $130. Got them on there on sale for $99. But this other pair was nice too. They were $85. Got them for $59. And I went in. I got the running shoes. The one with the air bubble, not the Air Max. And Clint was disappointed. Told me I shouldn't tell it on air. He said this may be the worst of, as he calls, cheap. I don't believe that's what it is. I think a little cautious with the cash. And Tyler seemed to be disappointed. And I even put the shoe up online. I can't tell if people were just trying to be an ass to me, to be an ass, but a lot of people gave me hell about the shoes. Telling me, you look like you got dad shoes on. You look like you're 40. Look like you got them. Well, I'm not going to lie to you, Tyler. Peer pressure worked. I went back up to Academy Sports and Outdoors and I exchanged them for the Miramaxes today.
Attaboy.
You did it.
Attaboy.
Yeah, that's that peer pressure. Absolutely. That's a good decision on your behalf.
Courtney was very annoyed.
That is a good decision on your
Courtney
behalf.
Courtney was very annoyed.
When you did it, or she was annoyed at the same thing we were?
Same thing you were. You know, I thought back at it. I said, you know what? Hey, it's a gift card. Might as well just splurge a little bit more. Not like we can't buy, you know, the other things we need there. And I did. Scooped up the Air Maxes. Felt good about it. They look good. They're beautiful. I thought about buying them both almost. Then I said, well, let's not get carried away here.
You clearly weren't buying them to work out in them. You just were buying the cheaper one. So you got you a nice pair of slides that you can throw on and walk around the city in, man. And that's a good decision. I'm proud of you. Next time, don't waste the gas. Make it two trips.
really disappointed that occurred that way. I did feel a little bullied. I did.
No, come on, man.
But it was some good bullying. Good bullying.
We were honest.
Yeah. It was good bullying. And I felt a lot. It's all right. I did. Someone texting, good job, show. You can buy the dad shoes, too. They're not dad shoes. Okay? All right? Even you don't have dad shoes, though. Those are just some very nice Brooks. Comfortable. All right?
Wind-ass tennis shoes.
I really felt like Larry was saying that. And Larry, you can kiss my ass.
Yeah, I mean, Larry's a little bit of a shoe whore. I mean, I think Larry would have looked at your decision. You put them two pictures together, Larry would have looked at your decision and maybe had a few choice words.
He wouldn't have cared what the pictures were. He was just going to have some choice words anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably
that's our friendship. So I texted Tyler, where's your damn backbone? Stand up for yourself.
No, it was the right decision. It was fair. It was fair criticism.
Hey, don't play with me. Don't think I don't have it in me to go take it back to exchange it again. Hey, and I promise you, I thought it wasn't meant to be. I went back there and grabbed that box.
You didn't have your size.
Well, I went in there and grabbed that 11 and a half. When I got up to the register, she said, oh, there's a 11 and a half and a 10 and a half.
In the box?
In the box. I said, oh, wow. Okay. Well,
it's a sign.
And she said, oh, no, we'll go back there and see if we can find that. I'll be damned. They found 11 and a half back there.
They made you spend that extra 50 bucks.
Someone said they like me more now. I appreciate it.
Look, I think it's a positive. I think it's a move in the right direction.
Yeah, I feel good about it. I need to get the shoe cleaner as well.
I could tell.
You could see it in my eyes.
I could see it in your eyes from the very beginning of the conversation. I could tell you were. I mean, Tyler, you know when you can tell. Like, there's mad or frustrated or. But you know that's one thing. But you know when somebody's disappointed in themselves or even you. Like, you can disappointment is a different look. Ron was
like
very
me right now.
Maybe Ron was very disappointed in the level of cheapness that he showed.
He should have been.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, so I knew
it wasn't really the cheapness.
I knew when he first brought it up, he was like, "Man, I just took the cheap route with
what
a gift card." And
bother me as much. That something about that seemed to bother Courtney. You got a damn gift card. You did it with a gift card.
I think Courtney probably agrees with me a lot of the times. Now she probably wouldn't go as far as I do in the spending, but she agrees that you're a little excessive in the savings.
You think it makes her think twice? Because I'm so aggressive with the savings.
No, I think she probably justifies some of her spending because she knows you're saving on the back end. I think she knows, probably takes advantage of it a good chunk of the time.
Ron was about to put on those. What are those? No, they were Nikes. They were running shoes. They had an air bubble and everything. Damn,
air
man.
Air bubble and everything.
They did. All right. Hey, we got to talk about this defense, Clint, because this is becoming a more serious conversation, and it's the reason why people are starting to have a certain level of confidence in the Houston Texans. This isn't just – A good defense or the best defense in football, it's more. We got to discuss that. We'll do that coming up next.
It's an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from Walk-On Sports Bistro and Katy, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. Welcome back into The Drive as the whole crew is here on a Football Friday and a Victory Friday. Damn, Tyler, you should have got you a Victory Friday shirt. That would have been.
I couldn't find one.
I don't think they got one, do they?
No.
Yeah. They gotta start making a Victory Friday, Victory Monday,
Tuesday.
Victory Tuesday. Play Monday Night Football. Yeah, they gotta start rolling in those.
Yeah.
Get you one of those. All right. Listen, man, we watched last night. Now listen, we've been seeing this all season long. But I mean, we're gonna have to be honest, a little bit, it's outside of the Rams game, right, and the Seahawks game, they hadn't really, you know, run into like, all right, they hadn't run into one of the real top-tier quarterbacks, to the Josh Allens or the Mahomes or the Burrows, and you wonder what it would look like. because they've dominated any team that's been in front of them. But last night, not only was it in front of the world, but it also felt a little different because it was Josh Allen and the Bills. And we just watched that team put 44 on the Bucks last year. And I think it changes the thought process on how good the Texans are and how far they can go. And for me, Clint, this is not just a really good defense. And not just a great defense, and hell, not even just the best defense without question in the league. This is a unique defense because they're very much like some of the ones we've seen recently. I would say that Legion of Boom Seahawks team in 13, that Denver defense in 2015. Those two really were the leaders of their teams winning the Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs from a couple of years ago, a lot of people think about Mahomes, but that last championship team was – their defense was the one that carried their teams. And I think they are unique, Clint, because, you know, we talk about the quarterback as the fixer. The Texans defense, and you don't see this from a lot of defenses, Clint, the Texans defense – have the ability to overcome things that normal defenses can, especially normal defenses that deal with offenses that struggle. Clint, you generally don't see teams play the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen and in a one-score game at the half be able to overcome their offense having, 36 total yards.
Yep.
You don't generally see a defense also have its offense have 36 total yards and give up a 97-yard kickoff return for a touchdown. They have the ability, like some of those other teams that I named, Clint, that they can make up and fix some of the deficiencies from the other team in a way where it actually affects winning games. And that's why, to me, this isn't – like this is more than just, boy, they're a really good defense. No, they can clean stuff up. We watched them against Jacksonville. That all they had to overcome against Jacksonville – to help their team, the multiple special teams issues, interception, you know, that sets up the team inside the 20. That is, to me, what makes them unique and can help them moving forward, Clint, is not only can they hold teams under 20, like they can still hold a team under 20 that gets a kickoff return for a touchdown. They can still hold a team under 20 when the offense is just doing nothing for long stretches and halves. And I think that's really impressive about this defense.
Well, I mean, look, there's nothing not to like about this defense. I mean, when you've got the two edge rushers and the two corners that this defense has, you can do a lot of different things. And you look at the style that the Texans play, there's two different approaches, right? You minimize risk, you play bend, don't break, you make the opponent, you rally up, you tackle well. You know, everybody's where they're supposed to be and when they're supposed to be there. And you play good, sound football. And there's another train of thought of where it is we're playing downhill, we're playing fast, we're going to create chaos, and we're going to bet that you're not very good in chaotic moments with chaos around you. And that's who the Texans are. The Texans, not that they're not sound, not that they're not where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there, but if you watch the film with the Texans, there are open receivers running a lot of times all over the place. And because of the chaos that's created around the quarterback, he doesn't set his feet and he throws the ball out of bounds. Or as that receiver's breaking open for what would be a 70-yard touchdown, the quarterback's having to peel himself off the ground because Will Anderson is in this chin strap with him. And so there's two different trains of thought. We've seen great defenses across the board. I look back at, and I may be crazy, but I look back at like those New England defenses where they were just really sound across the board. They didn't necessarily have elite pass rushers off the edge that were putting up 14, 15.
They were kind of like I described earlier, like making the math work and more cerebral. Like, yes. You know, not as like
– we're going to wait for you to make a mistake and bet that you can't consistently go 15 plays yes. without making a mistake.
That's not
and
what the Texans are.
We're going to force you into mistakes.
Yes.
I don't care if we're on the field for one play.
We want to create 16 three and outs.
Right.
Or
so that's the unique thing about the Texans is there's quite a bit of risk associated with what they do. They're just so damn good at it. Very rarely do they get hit. And now – they're very good at getting to the quarterback, and they're very good at covering down in the secondary, right? And so they've got a special group, man. They've got a special group to be able to execute what they execute and play the style of defense they play. It is it's ballsy.
Yeah.
And they've got a special group that's pulling it off in a big way.
We haven't really seen a team that is just flat led by their defense in a long time win, like go all the way and win a Super Bowl. Like everybody looks at, I think, from recent times, that 2000 Ravens team, clearly, like that's how that's what people look at. Like they were clearly led. Trent Dilfer was just along for the ride, right? Just don't mess it up. They didn't even ask him to make very many plays. I think the Denver defense was similar like that. I mean, we remember Peyton Manning, but that Peyton Manning, that was him splitting it up with Brock Osweiler and just not making mistakes. But that was 2015, so that's 10-plus years ago. That's 13, and even Russ wasn't bad with Seattle. You'd think teams still today, when you look at the offenses and the quarterbacks, you'd think the Texans have the ability to pull off like what teams like the Ravens did, teams like the Broncos did, where they are completely able to get to a Super Bowl, and in those cases win it, completely being led by their defense. Can that happen again? Because to me, that's the Texans' path right now. I don't think so.
I don't. I think offensive football in 2025 in the NFL is too good for you to not like right now, relatively speaking. I mean, the Texans don't scare anybody offensively. I mean, Nico does, but the Texans don't.
No.
We like Woody Marks around here, but there's nobody. Woody Marks isn't keeping people up, defensive coordinators in the league up at night, right? I mean, there's nobody. No. That Dalton Schultz is a good tight end, but nobody in football is going, boy, what are we going to do with Dalton, right? I mean, Nico's really the only one on this offensive team. And so I don't think this Texans team, built the way they are right now, is capable. I don't think they have enough firepower offensively to make it happen. And I think the league has changed in a way. I guess my overall answer is I think the league has changed in a way where you got to have some level of explosiveness on the offense. You can't just be sound and conservative and not turn the ball over and minimize risk offensively and win a Super Bowl, no matter how good your defense is. I think they're going to have to bring more to the table.
Yeah, I'm with you. It is nothing's impossible, right? And obviously we just watched what they did. And really we've watched them all season, that I said to open up the segment, Clint, but – it is hard to think, all right, man, you're going to hold three teams, quality playoff teams, and you think generally it gets harder by every round. You're going to hold them to under 20 points, like you know, the Ravens did. Yep. Stuff like that, that many in a row. Someone texted in and said, yeah, if you get 8 sacks on guys, they'll be able to hold anybody down. Yeah, I'm with you. If they're able to get the performance they did last night, but again, you're going to run into offensive coaches and offensive teams that aren't going to let themselves get into the situation that the Bills and Josh allowed themselves to get in. Well, as much as they did.
I mean, look, here's the deal. I think
they're going to give people problems, but
well, when you look at the Texans' defense, if you don't have dudes and you don't have scheme, if you don't have either like super elite of one or the other or a combination of both, the Texans defense is going to dominate you. That's just the reality of it. There, you know, if you don't have a quarterback and receivers and play caller like the Rams have, and the Texans, even though it was first game of the season, I think it would be different right now. They'd probably struggle a bit with what the Rams are right now. It'd be a little different than the first game of the season after not playing. But, like, if you don't have that kind of combination of quarterback, skill players, and play caller, like, good luck against the Texans, man. Good luck. They're going to cause some major, major problems. And when you look at Buffalo, I don't, their shortcoming is obviously skill players. You know, outside of their quarterback and their running back, they leave a lot. There's a lot left to be desired.
Yeah, and the way people are talking today is scheme and a guy – and the play call.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I mean, you can argue Joe Brady. I don't know what he was doing. He's trying to get Josh killed back there. So, I think it's fair. But there's, you know, down the stretch, you're going, the Colts got a little bit of all that. They got a good play caller, good schemer. They got a good quarterback. They can run it in. They can throw it. They got weapons. That's going to be a different animal. You know, you look at the Chiefs. I mean, Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid, the weapons that they have when they're healthy. It's gonna be a different animal. Now that's the next step for them is, boy, you this kind of defense. This
now, if they were to put those performances on the road,
oh,
against those two teams,
yes.
then
now we're going to a whole other way.
Now we're talking,
yeah.
You know, Ravens.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
I'm not saying they're as good, but we're talking. Well, hell, man, they get because they could do it everywhere.
Yes.
So. Yeah, man, it is like I said, it's not just a good defense. They're a defense that can, I mean, what they have been able to withstand the other units doing to them in the Jacksonville and Buffalo game in particular is different than other defenses. Right there, it is Denver's defense is good. I don't think Denver can survive. All right, man. We're gonna give you a return, and they've survived Bo Nix at times, but we're gonna also special teams is gonna suck ass as well. So, I don't know. We'll see. All right, coming up as we continue a little 5 o'clock fire, as we get you ready on this Football Friday, a big weekend, a big night for the Rockets as well. This feels like one of those statement games. For the Rockets as they face one of the other Western Conference powers. We'll get you also ready and look at some of the big games over the weekend coming up in the NFL. And there are some games that the Texans are going to be paying attention to. And there is some news, it seems like it's coming out daily, about Lane Kiffin and his future at Ole Miss. We'll discuss that as we continue right here live on The Drive.